Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bible passage for the message is the reading earlier from Acts. Here at the seminary, each year we have a little phrase that's chosen as a theme for the year. And when you are acting as president, Dr. Preuss, you chose Jesus Christ as the same yesterday, today, and forever. In prior years, we've had one that said, lead with the gospel, or be helpers of joy. Those three put together summarize this reading and the work of Philip the evangelist. Philip departs from Jerusalem with many others after the persecution begins and the stoning of Stephen. Acts says that the word's going to go out to Samaria and to the ends of the world. And in a way, Philip fulfills that. He goes first to Samaria. He heals people. He casts out demons. He preaches Christ. And the Samaritan village believes. Philip crosses lines, cuts down the boundaries, explodes the borders, and he takes Jesus Christ, that message, into Samaria. And this is what it says. So there was much joy in that city. Then he goes to this Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopia would have been the ends of the earth for Philip. Here's somebody that is well-to-do. He has a chariot and a scroll that he can read. A high government official. Once again, the lines are crossed. Borders exploded. Boundaries done away with. Philip takes the message of Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, and after the encounter, it simply says, the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Philip led with the gospel, became a helper of joy, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a way, though, Philip had it easy. He went into Samaria, and he could heal people. He could do miracles. He could cast out demons. That was going to attract some attention. He goes to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading from Isaiah 53. Now, that's a setup for evangelism, especially since the eunuch was just coming back from Jerusalem after having gone to church. Now, that's wonderful opportunities with miracles and somebody already interested in Isaiah 53. How about us? Who's in the chariot for us? Now, when I think of a chariot, maybe an old movie, The Ten Commandments, and the Egyptians are crossing that plain with war horses and at top speed. But here it could mean a covered wagon, a buggy. It's big enough to hold the eunuch, his driver, perhaps a helper, and for Philip to get up in as well. But who's in the chariot for us? Who's in the Lexus or the beat-up old Chevy or the big pickup truck or has to use public transportation or can get on a plane at a moment's notice and go somewhere? Who's in the chariot for us? A recent blog by James Emery White speaks of how the church has not come through this past year in very positive light for the unchurched. He says, we may have tried to do things right, but the way the church has been portrayed in the media and some of the things that have happened, that's not what's happened. And we need to pay attention to who's actually in the chariot rather than defend ourselves. So who's in the chariot? A young man who looks at the church with disdain. He's heard about congregations that ignored all the guidelines, gathered together in worship, in mass, no mass on, no social distancing, singing loud and clear, becoming a super spreader. And he hears about the church supposed to be unselfish and caring, but he does not see it. He does not see a love for the neighbor. Now, that's not true of all churches, but that's who's in the chariot. Or the young woman who's afraid of the church because of what happened at the Capitol in January, where she saw signs with Jesus' name on it and a prayer group and people saying they're acting out in faith. For her, the church that she has seen is more like a terrorist group, and she's afraid. Or the suburban, well-educated woman who sees hypocrisy. Sees hypocrisy for all these social media posts that are almost idolizing Donald Trump. And for the good that he's done with Sanctity of Life and Supreme Court nominees and religious freedom, but ignoring what seems to be the lying, the sexual immorality, the ego, the narcissism, some inconsistency, and she simply sees the church as hypocritical. Who's in the chariot? Perhaps someone of a different race. When George Floyd comes out, she hears the church react to critical race theory, label all protests as riots, and putting up all lives matter signs instead of having sensitivity to what's going on. Is it true all the way across the board? No. Different congregations did different things. But that's who's in the chariot. And who else might be in the chariot? Last Tuesday, Noah Comfort Dog went to Crystal City High School. A senior, 2 weeks before graduation, commits suicide. Who's in the chariot? Parents who are planning a funeral instead of a graduation party and wondering about what's going on here. Or maybe it's another teenager that does not want to die, but does not want to live the life. Or maybe it's the widow whose husband died of COVID, or the only man in a veteran's home. Who's in the chariot? Seems much more difficult for us. Until you realize that it really wasn't the miracles or even which Bible passage it was. But listen again to what Philip did. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And then for the eunuch, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. How did Philip become a helper of joy? He led with the gospel. He led with Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. about one who did go to the cross, stricken, smitten, afflicted, beaten, bruised, bloodied, but one who crosses all the boundaries, who gets rid of the lines, no more borders, to the ends of the earth. His forgiveness is for you, for me, and for all. His life that he offers is for all races. Does not matter how much money you have or you do not have, what country you are from, male or female, young or old, lonely or surrounded by friends, Jesus crosses all the boundaries. He explodes all the lines. He is the same from back then, as he is today, and always. Someone led with that gospel to us. And as the people in Samaria or the eunuch were baptized, we too were brought into his kingdom. And now we have the opportunity to lead with the gospel, to be a helper of joy. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always. One example of this. In my closet at home, I have a couple ties. I will occasionally wear this, Nathaniel. You've seen me wear the happy tie, big smiley face on it. It's a happy tie. Bring smiles to people's faces. But this tie has a Bible verse on it. It's actually the Bible verse for Noah Comfort Dog. It's from Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This is a tie that leads with the gospel. God's peace. God's strength. His blessing through Jesus. My youngest daughter, Beth, does not attend church as often I would like her to. But at Easter, she went to a worship service. She now lives outside of Nashville, and she went to a church close by, along with her husband, Alex. My daughter, Beth, likes to do something when she walks into a church and greets the pastor. She will say to him, "I think you might know my dad." And he says, "Oh?" And she says, "Yeah, Dr. Glenn Nielsen from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis." And she watches for the reaction. Oh, okay. Well, this pastor knew me, had that little reaction, but then he did something to get a reaction from my daughter. He simply said, "I think I remember that your parents went through a tragedy when they lost their son and your brother a few years ago." And it's true. In 2017, our oldest son, Matthew, at the age of 33, died suddenly of a pulmonary embolism at Mercy Heart Hospital in front of my wife, Sue, his mom. 3.5 years later, this pastor remembered who was in the chariot and led with a word of gospel that brought rejoicing. When we think about our son's death, it is not this tie. It is this one. And that brings joy. That week, my daughter received a letter in the mail from the church, usual letter of thank you for visiting with us. Glad to have you here. Come and worship with us again. I'm committed to preaching Christ crucified among this body of believers, the pastor wrote. We are a confessional church, committed to sound doctrine, liturgical worship, caring fellowship in Christ. Standard letter until you get to the last paragraph. I pray God's richest blessing for you. Again, receive my condolences at the death of your brother and pass them to Dr. and Mrs. Nielsen. Praise God for the resurrection of Christ and the reunion of head for all who fall asleep in him. For parents and a sister who still grieve, here's a pastor who led with the gospel, proclaiming Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, to bring joy into our hearts. Philip led with the gospel. He proclaimed Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and brought joy. And so for us, lead with the gospel. Be helpers of joy, because Jesus Christ is the same as he was for Philip, and he is today, and he will be forever. Amen.